Diane, if you're going to read scripture for us, we're just going to join together again in prayer as Diane comes to read God's word for us this morning. Let's pray together. We want to be people of the Word, Lord, the living Word, Jesus, following Him into places we never thought of going before, be it in this wider community, being it in countries beyond. But we also want to be people of the written Word, Your Word that You've given. Come, Spirit of the living God, and speak through the words we hear from Diane as she publicly reads for us now Your Scriptures. Bond our hearts strong and sure and true in commitment to live and follow and practice what You teach us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The lesson this morning is Luke 23, verses 39 to 43. One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saying yourself and saving yourself and us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man has done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Thank you, Diane. Next Sunday, already been alluded to that it's the beginning of Advent, and so we'll have the Advent wreath here and the candle lighting that we do Sunday by Sunday leading up to Christmas Sunday, actually on a Sunday this year. But today, the Sunday before Advent, listening to the story with the children earlier, it's Christ the King Sunday. And we remember on this Sunday, and we celebrate on this Sunday, Jesus Christ in His death, His resurrection, His ascension to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, His present rule and reign in our midst. Now that's something that's not just present, it's also obviously past, but it's got a very much of a future dimension to it as well, this rule of Christ. This morning, I want to look at one aspect of Christ's present rule as King. Last week I looked at the good life. Today calling it the better life. But this morning the present rule of Christ, not so much in the lives we live here and now, but the lives that our loved ones in Christ who've died and gone to be with the Lord. Larissa Heatley, the granddaughter of Dallas Willard, he was for over 40 years a professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles and head of the philosophy department there. He died in May of 2013. I probably have, I think, about a half dozen or more of his books on my shelf, but his granddaughter was speaking at his memorial service, and I just want to quote this part from it. Very, very close to the time that Dallas Willard passed away. He died, took his last breath here on earth. His granddaughter said this before the large group that was gathered. "I will always remember one sentence that really summed up everything my grandfather stood for and everything I need to do. We were walking out of the hospital room and he called me back, and just for a moment there was only the two of us in the room. And my grandfather said to me, 'Give them heaven.'" Well, that's what I hope to do today. And I hope to do that next Sunday. I want to give you heaven. I really do. Heaven in two parts. Call it first heaven. Next week, second heaven. First heaven is temporary heaven. It's intermediate heaven. The Bible uses the word to speak of it paradise. First heaven is where those who have died with their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ, they now live. They live in the presence of their King. First heaven is very real. We're the shadow, they're the reality. It's real, it's present, it's right now, but it's undisclosed, it's invisible to our mortal eyes. Second heaven is God's new heaven and new earth. It's coming. It's something that's in the future, and it's going to be the full and public and visible disclosure of God's heavenly realm, now on a transformed and renewed, restored, repaired earth. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 1 that to be with Christ the King in the first heaven was better by far than the good life we're called to have here in bearing fruitful service for the King and serving others, like going to Nicaragua, going to the Dominican Republic. In the passage that Diane read for us, Jesus said to the criminal who turned to him with really a remarkable trust, he turned away from his criminal friend on the other cross, and he turned to Jesus and he asked Jesus to remember him. And Jesus said to him, today, like when you die, you are going to be with me in paradise. That's first heaven. Paradise is the word that's used in the Bible to describe the life after death that is enjoyed by those who die with their trust in Jesus Christ. You know, there's some examples in the Scripture of people who just before they died even, in the good life, they had some glimpse of this. The story's told in the Acts of the Apostles of Stephen, really the first Christian martyr. And he was being stoned to death for his faith in Christ. And full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up to heaven, the words paradise. He looked up to paradise, and it was like the curtain was pulled back, and he saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus Christ as King, standing at the right hand of God the Father. In another example, the Apostle Paul, he describes it in the third person. He's really describing himself, and he's describing an experience he had where that curtain, as it were, was pulled back, and he got a glimpse into first heaven. He got a glimpse into paradise. And here's what he wrote. He said, I know a man who was caught up to heaven. He's saying, I was caught up to paradise. He had a glimpse. He had a vision. He was able to see the eyes of faith into the invisible but present reality of the heavenly kingdom of God. It's into this invisible reality that followers of Jesus live on after their death here on earth. So really important here that to see that paradise is not some far-off, distant, far-flung part of the universe, you know, up there in space and far removed from us. Paradise, or the first heaven, I mean, just picture a curtain going across the sanctuary here this morning, and you can't see what's on the other side of that curtain. That's the first heaven. That's paradise. It's on the other side of the curtain. It's another dimension. I don't have time, but I'd love to be able to tell you what I've read about, and I'm not a scientist, but what I've read about scientists, physicists, the brain theory that they have, the membrane theory, the brain theory that they posit that, you know, we live in, we'd say, a 3 or 4 dimensional world. But they say there's easily 7 dimensions. There could even be 11 dimensions to the universe and the world that we live in. On the other side of that curtain, another dimension invisible to us is paradise, first heaven. The Bible sometimes uses the word sleep to describe it, but that's not sleep like hopefully some of you had last night. You know, that you want to call it that semi-conscious, unconscious reality. No, the word sleep, when it's used in the Scriptures, it's used to really refer to our new body. You know, this body is buried. It decays. And the sleep is of the new body that God is going to give each and every one of us in Christ, that will be our gift from God when body and spirit are reunited. That's God's plan. That's the gospel. It's not that we just, you know, die and go to heaven. It's that the day is coming when body and spirit are going to come together, and it's that new body that's our inheritance that God has for us, that's being kept for us. That's asleep. The real person lives on in paradise, the first heaven, and hell. I want you to hear this, because this is not my declaration. This is the declaration of the Word of God. The real person is held in the conscious love of God, alive in the conscious presence of Jesus Christ. You have time this afternoon, between now and when you come back for the service tonight, because the service tonight is really about first heaven, okay? Hymns and readings, remembering the evening of life and the dawning of new creation. Find some friends. You won't regret coming tonight. One for the Hamilton Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, the young people who are going to be here. But just what Emil has built into this service for us tonight. But if you find this time, whether today or through this week, take Revelation chapter 6 in verses 9 to 11 and then read that alongside of Hebrews chapter 12 in verses 22 through 24. And you will get, not my word, but God's word, you will get a stunning look into what this better life actually looks like, how it in fact is the better life than the good life we have here. In the presence of God right now, those who have died and gone to first heaven, they are able to express themselves audibly. They raise their voices. They are aware of what is happening and taking place, events here on earth. They are able to ask God questions. God answers their questions. They have a deep concern for justice and seeing that things are made right. They cry out for second heaven, for the new heaven and the new earth. They wear clothing. Imagine that. It says it there. They wear white robes. They anticipate that there's more to come, that first heaven is not the final destination of those who are in Christ. There's more to come. And that's called the best life. And in first heaven, this better life, they get a glimpse of that. They see that. They really get, they see like in ways we can't see. They see the more that's still to come even for them. They see the best life that's lying out ahead. They get to take in the beauty and the glory and the wonder and the power of what God has done and authored in Jesus Christ the Son through his death and resurrection and ascension. And for them, it's real. Incredibly real. It's paradise. It's better than this life. It's first heaven. Again, I want you to understand that everything I've said, it's biblical. You know, it's anchored in God's word. It's God's promise. And it's God's gift to those who've died in Christ. And it's why the death and resurrection of Jesus is so important. This the physical, we're talking about this at our study group on Wednesday afternoon, that the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus is so absolutely fundamental, baseline for what it means to be a Christian. Christ physically lives in paradise. Christ bodily lives in the first heaven, visible to those who have died as the sign of what is still to come for them, what's sleeping for them, their new body. And I don't know about you, but I know, I was saying to one of our folk here who lost a loved one just in the past year, that it's before the service this morning, that it's thrilling to me to really contemplate what it is that grips and captures, because I have loved ones held in the conscious love and the conscious presence of God, what it is that grips and captures them in Christ as they see with eyes that are wide open what it is that lies ahead, not only for them, but for you, together with you. what lies ahead for those of us in Christ in God's second heaven. And it's the resurrection, the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus that is our guarantee of that. John Ross, he's a pastor in Memphis, Tennessee, and he's written a book called Scarred Faith. And he writes about the death of his older sister, Jenny. I quote from it. "My parents lost their only daughter. David lost his wife. Malala lost her mother. My brother and I lost our sister. The world lost a friend and a devout follower of Jesus. My dad tells the story of walking out of the hospital with my mom, knowing that at the age of 53 and 52, they had outlived their oldest daughter, oldest child. They approached the glass doors, the sliding glass doors, leading for them not just to a parking lot, but to a life that they had not known before. There would not be a normal anymore for them. They each now walked with a limp because the lifelong journey of grief was setting in for them. My mom looked at my dad and said, 'Remind me what we believe.' What do we believe?" And after a few moments, my dad responded with these words, "The tomb is empty. The tomb is empty." I look out at you this morning and you are my friends. I thank God that you are my family in Christ. And as my family, I want to encourage you. I want to invite you this morning to make certain that you are living God's good life. You're living right now, here and now, a life of following Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that you, because of that, are able to stand with both of your feet, the feet of faith, in the empty tomb of Jesus Christ, who died and was raised and brought to back to life by God the Father. Stand. Stand in the empty tomb. It's your gift in Christ for living the good life now. And it's the promise to you of the better life that lies ahead. I want to end by reading to you from, and the praise team could come up. I want to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 to 18. And it's in this passage that you see the word sleep used a lot. But, you know, you hear that word sleep. Okay, you remember that word sleep. It's the new body that's still to come. That's what's sleeping. That's what's resting. That's what's still to be brought to life in the second heaven. I'm going to talk about that next week. I thank God for the gift of talking about this today, but it's next week I'm really looking forward to the best life to speak to you about. But hear this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death," the ones waiting for their new body. They're alive, "so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, those who are alive until the coming again of Christ to this earth, those who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Be encouraged. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.